This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Henry Clay Warhawk Rebellious. Backed by popular demand, this limited edition Toro is sure to please. Another fine example of Nicaraguan tobacco blended by AJ Fernandez. Complex, smooth, chocolatey Habano wrapper, a satisfying smoke with a clean finish. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us. We got a good one today. Somebody I think you've probably seen or heard along the way, Lee Carter from Maslansky and Partners. Anyway, she is one of the better pollsters out there. You know, she's not one of those people who just goes out and like, here's the survey, fill it out, and then let me just tell you what happened. No, it's the analysis. It's making sure that you got good data, good input, and then you're able to interpret it. And that's what makes her so good, so viable. And she's also kind of one of these keen people who are really good at vocabulary. Not necessarily my strong point. Wasn't in school, isn't now, but she understands the power of words and the way they're applied. So look, we're going to talk about the success and the phenomenon that is Donald Trump. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world of politics, where Democrats, Republicans at this part of the world, and what's going on now. And learn a little bit more about her because, you know what, Lee Carter is just a fabulous person. And like I've said, I've been with her on camera, I've seen her on camera, but behind the scenes, she's just a wonderful, energetic, full of life person, which I'm just saying, for a pollster, it's just a little different. And so I think you're really going to enjoy this, and I look forward to chatting with her. So hope you're able to stick around for that. All right, let's move on to the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, I got to go to this story coming out of Perrysburg, Ohio. And this comes from FoxNews.com, where they had this, allegedly, a 24-year-old Venezuelan who had somehow doctored up some documents and all that and decided to, you know, enroll in high school. Now, I don't know what kind of sicko this guy is and what he was trying to do as a 24-year-old trying to go hang out with 15-year-olds, but I gotta imagine that can't be good. And I'm just glad the authorities got on it. They evidently arrested him. I've seen some videos of this, some stories of this. It's all an allegation. We'll see. But you're here illegally, and then you're trying to go to high school? Aye, aye, aye. Something kind of weird and sick going on there. All right, now, time to go on to the next one. This one just still bothers me. This is the City Council of Providence, Rhode Island. Okay, this happened a little while ago, I recognize that. But the City Council of Providence, Rhode Island, the allegation is that they hosted a flag-raising ceremony at the City Hall. It wasn't the American flag. It wasn't the Rhode Island flag. It was the Palestinian flag. What the? How in the world? That's about the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like, that is just, it's offensive to so many, and so, yeah, you want to engage in the political debate about what we should do with this and that, go ahead and do that. But don't be raising the Palestinian flag on city offices. That just makes me mad. I think it's stupid. I think it's wrong. It certainly made the list here. So it's just unbelievable. So that was just fundamentally wrong. That's the stupid for today, because you know what? We're in a really happy mood.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, be aware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
We've got trade wars, rising costs, global chaos, and a skyrocketing national debt. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to help diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Call 855-969-GOLD. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
No other player in history of baseball affected how the game was played more than Babe Ruth. He changed the game from an inside game of scratching for one or two runs to a game of power. His career included 714 home runs. He retired from the game and was elected to the first class in the new Baseball Hall of Fame. With all that, the Babe still wish for more.
I've had three ambitions in my life. One was this, 700 home runs. The other was to play 20 years. And the next one was to be in 10 World Series. I succeeded in one last year, making my 10th World Series. And next year gives me the opportunity to play in 20 years. And if I had 46 home runs, I'll have my 700 home runs, and I'll sure be satisfied with everything.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
As we continue thinking about the early days of Donald Trump's second term, our Fox News survey checked in with voters about their 2024 choice for president. Regardless of who they pulled the lever for, 85% remain satisfied with how they voted. And among Trump supporters, it's 89%. That's a lot, but it's down from 97% who were satisfied 8 years ago at the start of his first term. Back then, 80% of voters overall said they wanted Trump to succeed. Today, 62% feel that way, an 18-point drop compared to 2017. While the number of Republicans who want him to succeed holds steady at more than 9 in 10, the share of Democrats and independents who say they want Trump to succeed has plummeted by 30 points or more. Even so, that still means many in the country are rooting for Trump, even if they didn't vote for him or they disapprove of what he's doing. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Parade.
Take a pause. a wedding coming up and you just have to make sure your pet is in on it? Chewy.com has a new line of bridal gear for your pooch and even for your cat.
My absolute favorite is that little wedding dress harness that we have with the removable tutu.
That's Chewy's trend manager, Whitney Reese, who says they've got the goods for pets to dress as brides and grooms.
We've got the tuxedo with the removable tails. That harness is amazing. And then we also have the little tuxedo t-shirt for a more casual look for them.
They even have what may be the most important item of all for pets at a wedding, a leash in bridal white. And if the pet you want at your wedding happens to not be a dog,
our extra small items are suitable for cats as well.
Just be sure to keep them out of the open bar. Sorry, kitty. Take a pause. Joel Nadeau, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
We're going to be talking to a really happy person. So let's get on with it with Lee Carter. Let's bring her in.
Well, thanks for joining us, Lee. I'm honored that you would come on and join us. And, you know, I was doing a few shows here at Fox, and I thought, why have we not had you on? Lee Carter, you're like one of the best at what you do, and I'm thrilled that you're coming on today.
I'm so thankful you asked me. What fun.
No, you're really good. And I want to understand it because, you know, trying to understand America and pierce through what's happening, what's not happening. I've seen a lot of like pollsters that are, they're just not very good. I don't believe them. But when you get on and talk about what's happening, what's not happening, I believe you. Why is that?
Well, I think polling is part art and part science. And it's really hard not to bring in your own feelings into the mix. And I feel like for every piece of data that you can find that says people feel one way, you can find data that says that they feel a different way, or you can just focus in on one thing or the other. And I really believe strongly that all of this starts with trying to suspend how you feel and understand what's going on with everyone else. And so I'm always curious about why people feel the way they feel or why they're doing what they're doing. And you have to, if you don't just understand the why, the data, you can't just understand the data. You have to understand the why behind the data. Why do people feel that way? And once you start to understand the why, then the data starts to tell you a story. And so for the last decade, sort of watching the rise of Donald Trump has been fascinating because he was speaking to people in a way that nobody else was speaking to them. And a lot of people were questioning the data. A lot of people were questioning what was going on because it just didn't make sense to him because he was so unconventional. But once you understood what he was doing and why people were resonating with him, it was so clear that he was the only one that was going to win in 2015 in the primaries and then 2016 in the election. And, you know, interestingly enough, in 2020, when we were watching what he was doing, he sort of went off his own script when he was running. Instead of running on Make America Great Again and when he was the fighter for the American people, he was running against the radical left. And he was always running for the American people. And I think that sort of cost him some chips back in 2020. And then when he came back in 2024, he was ready to be our fighter again, and it worked. But I think you really have to understand and spend time understanding what it is that is appealing, not just what the numbers are telling you.
Well, I want to dive a little deeper into that, but before we get to that part, Lee, we want to understand you, because I see you on air, I've interviewed you on air, but I also see you behind the scenes. You're just like a perpetually fun, happy person, and I love that about you. So let's go back to, like, I was born in, and I'm not talking the year, I'm talking, like, where, and just kind of walk us through, because I want to understand how Lee Carter became Lee Carter. So let's start back when I was born in.
Was born in New York, in Long Island. And I was raised in New Jersey. So I've been back and forth in the tri-state area most of my life. Went to college down in South Carolina. And I've always been an extremely curious person. I've always wanted to understand why other people were doing what they were doing. And I've always been a little bit of an overachiever.
Did you have, like, brothers, sisters?
Of course. I have a brother. He's my older brother, and he would tell you that he is the reason why I am who I am today. I tried to emulate him in every way when I was growing up.
Right. How much older is he?
He's 3 years older than me, and he has 5 children, who I adore, my nieces and nephews, and he has 2 grandchildren.
Wow. Right. Yeah, well, yes. Tell me about it. I got 6, so yeah, it happens before you know it. So
yeah.
Okay, so you have a brother, and he's older, so he was bossing you around from the very beginning.
Yes,
taking credit for all your successes, and it was obviously not his fault anytime you fell down and skidded your knee or whatever you did in terms of falling down.
That's right.
But were you you playing sports? Were you like what were so you're into music? What were you doing as a little kid?
So I'd say I was designed for water, not for land. yeah. I've never been a very good athlete when it comes to traditional sports. Although I love to play and cheer people on, but I was a swimmer. I was always a very good swimmer and could spend all of my time in or by water even now.
Really? What was your sport? Like which stroke would you, like what did you?
My favorite strokes were backstroke and breaststroke.
Backstroke? Not everybody's favorite is backstroke.
I loved it.
You just like propelling yourself in the water, not being able to see where you're going? Is that what that was something?
Exactly. Like the counting that you had to do to get to the wall.
Okay. So I did competitive swim when I was very little, but I didn't get to be the point where I could count my strokes and understand that I was about to hit a thing of cement. So you did that. And it's not exactly, it's not like you're coming from Florida or, you know, a sunny, warm state. The water had to be cold and you had to get up early, right?
Absolutely.
What did it teach you? What did you learn from swimming?
Just keep going, even when it's hard. And the other thing is about swimming is it's a team sport, but it's also an individual sport. So sometimes the most important thing is trying to beat your own record rather than trying to beat everybody else. So it taught me a few different things. It also connected me a lot to my father, who was also a swimmer. So I thought, I wanted to have that piece of things. But I like both the individual and the team component of it.
Interesting. All right. So you were doing some sports, but what made you where did this curiosity start to manifest itself?
So there's a few different things. So one of the things that I became in high school, I had a teacher who was a history teacher, and he brought American history to life for me in a way that made me absolutely love our country and love our history. I had a grandfather and a family who was extremely patriotic and very into politics. My great-grandfather was a congressman. He was Fred Hartley from New Jersey. He was the author of the Taft-Hartley Act. So I always had a huge passion for politics. When I was in high school, I was the chairman of the Young Republicans of New Jersey. I was like super geek. One of the first things that I always had a job starting when I was 14. I worked at a great deli, which is still open in New Jersey, and they just opened, my niece just opened with the owner a new one, which I'm really excited about there. But when I first jobbed was at a deli in New Jersey. And
what were you doing? You're slicing the meat? What were you doing?
I wasn't allowed to slice the meat until I was 18. You couldn't operate heavy machinery, but I did make a mean sandwich and get coffee and do all the things and work the counter.
Oh, good.
So I did that in my first paycheck that I got from the deli. I took to the, well, I didn't take it to the bank. What I did is I ordered the PBS box set on Ronald Reagan, which was really long. But I loved it. So I was really into politics. Wow. I was really into history.
You were a geek. Can we just pause right there? Not many kids working at the deli are cashing that check going right to buy the box set on Ronald Reagan. That's all in right there.
I was all in. So you could see like the leanings were coming out that way. At the same time, I was always fascinated with messaging and language. So I would ask questions at the dinner table like, what's the difference between a nerd, a geek, a dork, and a dweeb? They sound like the same thing. And if you look them up in a dictionary, I would say it's the exact same thing, but they're totally different, right? So I became obsessed with messaging as well.
Interesting.
And storytelling. And so that sort of happened all through high school. And then I went to college and I took a sociology class and I wanted to understand why people behaved the way they did. And so I became a sociology major along with a history major. And I loved it. And it all sort of came together in this like package of what I was interested in: politics, messaging, history, human behavior. And it wasn't like I was sitting there saying, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a pollster. But so I went into, I graduated from college. I went into marketing and I was just sort of, I was doing well at it, but I was kind of bored. And I was like, I always thought I was going to go to politics. I always thought I was going to do something different. What am I going to do with all of this? And then I heard the founder of my firm, his name was Frank Luntz, speak at a conference. And I thought, oh my goodness, here he is talking about messaging, human behavior, politics, all in one place, and that's a job. So I tried to meet him, and he had absolutely no interest in meeting me at all. Zero. But I did spend the next year trying to make sure that he would answer an email from me to say that I wanted to work for him, which he never did. But his partner, Michael Maslansky, who is my partner now, was opening the New York office and ended up, I got connected with him, and the rest is history. And I've been here for over 20 years now.
Wow.
Frank is no longer my partner. Michael is my partner. I have two other partners here. And just every day is, I feel so lucky that I found something that is a combination of everything that I was interested in all in one place.
So when you look at pollsters, I mean, I look at them and I just think, that's not right. There's no way that's true, that kind of stuff. But you have this success rate and this, like, I just feel like you're telling us the truth. But I get the sense that some of these others, they're just making it up.
Well, I don't know that, you know, people are making it up as much as, you know, you read the data the way you want to read the data. I even look at, you know, I look at people looking at the president's approval rating right now and saying, you know, this is the lowest approval rating of any president in 100 days. It's a total disaster and all of this kind of stuff. And I look at it and I'm like, well, let's see what the real story is. So he's at 44% approval right now, which is almost 10 points higher than Joe Biden was when he left. So it's not that bad,
right?
But you can look at it and say it is horrible relative to others. But how many people in the first 100 days did as much that is really pretty unpopular with some people? I mean, what he did with immigration was solid and strong and one of the reasons why he was elected, but the people who hated him really didn't like what he was going to do there. What he's doing with tariffs, a lot of people are like, is that economic policy or negotiating strategy? And the people who look at it as economic policy are terrified, and so they're giving him a bad rating. But the bottom line is this. Only 2% of people that voted for Donald Trump would change their mind right now.
Right.
And so what he's done is he's solidified his support while making some really tough changes that are unpopular because, of course, the people who oppose them are making hay out of it. But nothing's really changed all that much. And so I think you have to look at the whole story and the whole picture before you just look at your numbers. And I think sometimes people will just look at one poll and say that's the story. But if you do look at just one poll or one survey, you might not see something else, or that there's a different way of asking the same question or the way that it's understood. And then the other thing is a lot of pollsters aren't talking to people. They're just looking at these spreadsheets, and they're not out there doing qualitative or focus groups or one-on-one conversations with voters to find out what it is that they're thinking and really understanding from a qualitative perspective what's going on. And if you're just looking at an Excel spreadsheet, you don't hear the same story. It's the same thing in a business. You know, it's like the CEO that doesn't walk the floor and really understand. You can totally miss what's going on with the culture of a place. It's the same thing, I think, with polling. You have to understand all of it together.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be right back with more of my conversation with Lee Carter right after this. We'll be right back.
today's time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did.
Thank you for taking the quiz.
Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to The Billies, Anna Jay, Soul Punch, Ashley Black, and the Liquid Amber Band. Enjoy fun with the family with Redding Balloons and Face Painting by Squishy Doodle. There will be fun for the entire family, so come down to the 18th annual Taste of Redding, Sunday, June 8th at the Sculpture Park at Redding City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets by visiting us online at tasteofredding.org.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The only thing micro about this event are the wrestlers. Micromania returns for an action-packed event at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, June 14th. Tickets for this micro event start at $15 plus fee and include $10 in free slot play. This high-flying event for those under 5 feet tall sells out fast. Get your tickets today before they're gone. Must be 21 to attend. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company.
We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Jason in the house.
Well, let's go back to that data collection, because you're right. I mean, the world's changed, right? I mean, when I was growing up, you had to dial your telephone numbers, and you could look up, you know, you get the yellow pages and the white pages, and look, our name and address is in that telephone book. And I'm sure in terms of polling, it was a lot easier to get a hold of people. But now with, you know, social media and the internet and all the spamming, how do you actually, like, collect quality material to so that you know you're grabbing the pulse of what's actually going on?
It's not easy. I was going to say very carefully is what we're done. It's really hard to get people, I think, to be completely direct with you on what they feel right now, because everything is polarized. Even like which coffee you choose can be a like political statement.
Which car you drive, so, you know? Yes.
For sure. And so I think there's a lot of people who are reluctant, first of all, to answer the phone. Second of all, to get online and say anything that they really, really think. And those that do are a certain kind of person. So that's why I believe we have really sophisticated ways of trying to find our samples and make sure that the people that we're talking to are the right people. But more than that, I think we have to question everything. If something like it has to pass the smell test, you know, there's all kinds of survey panels that are out there, and those are like just databases of people that you can that you can reach out to try and get them to respond to things. You have to look at the quality of them. You have to make sure that you have the geographic dispersal. You have to understand what all you're looking at. But more than that, like when a data comes back, sometimes something just doesn't feel right. If it doesn't, you have to look at the data and understand why. And I think it's just so important that you're always skeptical as you're looking at a poll and not just take everything at face value. The other thing is if you're a pollster, you start looking at all kinds of things behind the scenes. Like when you look at a poll, is it weighted? What does weighting mean? It could mean that 70% of Democrats responded and only 20% of Republicans responded. And so what they do is they weight the number, the percentages, so that it ends up looking like it's representative sample, but really more Democrats and Republicans answered. And they're just extrapolating what they think more Republicans would say. If you don't look at the weighting, sometimes you can miss the bigger story, because you want to make sure that you're getting a representative sample of who you're trying to talk to. And if it isn't, you should question it. So there's a lot that goes into it. And now, and these aren't yet so popular on the polls that get covered in the media, but they certainly are popular among pollsters and researchers trying to figure out what's next. AI is creating synthetic audiences. And that's say, like, how would somebody who
right.
meets this demographic react? And they're trying to use predictive tools to see how they react. And I think we have to be really careful of those, because they use historical data, but that's a separate story from what you're asking me about, which is the polls that we see on TV right now.
Well, and that's, yeah, the fakery, the deep fakes, I think this is a big society problem we're going to have to deal with, because not only does it manifest itself in social media and online and entertainment and real life. I mean, it's just omnipresent now. And you look at where the investment's going and the direction it's going and how AI is just going to be all absorbing. Man, that's going to take it's got to come up with some real creativity for somebody who's trying to capture the pulse of what people are really thinking,
mm-hmm.
because it can swing so fast and so hard, and something can go viral that's just not true. It's literally just made up.
Yeah. And we have to be so careful about it. But the thing that's exciting about AI, like we have to be so afraid and so scared and so skeptical about all of the fakes and all that. And I'm really concerned about synthetic audiences, all sorts of things that are coming our way. But I heard somebody talking about how to lean into AI in a way that's more productive. And AI is a new technology that's exciting. And he said, in the same way, though, that somebody wouldn't say their big differentiator is that you have electricity so you can work longer hours, you shouldn't say your big differentiator is AI. It's like, how can you make it, how can it make you work smarter?
Right.
And so what we can do with AI as pollsters now is pretty cool. Like, I can get back a survey of, you know, thousands of people, and it can read the trends for me and help me understand quickly where there's maps or where there's heat maps of people feeling the same way about something. And then it'll help me direct me on where I need to focus.
Interesting.
But
yeah.
If you use AI in the wrong way and say this is the answer that's going to replace us, that scares me. But I think the thing about it, it's like, okay, I have access to a light switch. That makes me be able to work more efficiently, but it doesn't change the human part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. So, Lee, I want to go back and understand you a little bit. So it's one thing to be a nerd and want to to be able to, I don't know which of those four you used. What were they? Nerd?
A nerd, a geek, a dork, and a dweeb.
Yeah, I wouldn't call you a dweeb or a dork, but maybe it's a little dorky to want to read numbers and data.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
It is. I think that's fair.
But interacting with you, communicating with you, you're not that person. That's what, I mean, that's not who you are. And so not to put everybody in a box or just say you have to be one way or the other, but, you know, a lot of people can look at the data, they can analyze the data, they can scrub the data, they can come up with their best interpretation, but not many people can talk about it and make it have something that's really complex and then be able to synthesize that into a 90-second summary that makes sense to a lot of people. And so where did you get that skill set? Because that, I mean, that's a rarity.
A lot of practice. Now, the thing that I have always found...
Were you practicing that when you were, like, in seventh grade?
Well, you know what? When I was in seventh grade, I was also a theater, like a little theater geek. So I was in Oklahoma when I was in seventh grade,
too. So there's a little geekness there, yeah.
Yeah, there is. But I still like to present, right? I like public speaking. And I really like the idea of conveying ideas in ways that resonate. And I find myself like I've always been sort of like a go-between, like a people, in some ways a people pleaser, but I don't want to define myself as a people pleaser. Like, how do I explain this to someone who disagrees with me? I have, you know, a family on the left and family on the right, family that's super religious, family that's not. How do I create bridges so that people can understand each other? And that's always something that I've tried to do. And I think I heard what somebody, I met with a woman who is CFO at a very large financial services company. And I asked her, I was like, I know on paper what your job is, CFO, but what is your job? She's like, my job is to tell the story of our business with numbers.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
One
so my
sentence.
Job
yeah.
is to tell the story of what's going on with the electorate with numbers. And that's what I try to do. I don't want it to be complicated. I don't want you to have to remember that it was, you know, the approval rating is 44%. I want you to understand why. I want you to understand the story of what's going on. I want you to understand the why the president is either surging or crashing or why people want change or why they don't. Because it's a story. And the numbers just help us tell that story.
I rest my case. How good you are at that. You gave the best description I've heard yet.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A generous stranger who paid for everyone's meal all day long in a popular restaurant in Massachusetts makes today's Dean's List. It happened in a McDonald's on Upper Main Street in Haverhill when a man walked in to the restaurant and handed one of the cashiers cash and said he wanted to pay for everyone's meals that day until the money ran out. So from 1:30 p.m. to 5 p.m., 356 meals were given away. Franchise owner David Yee and his daughter Christine kept track of all the food. Christine says she was skeptical at first and was suspicious that the money might have not been real. So she called the local police department to make sure everything was on the up and up, and indeed it was. Christine says she's never experienced anything like it, saying, quote, "We were given a special opportunity to spread kindness. We hope everyone who got a meal for free today passes that good feeling of caring forward." Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. The third person to receive an implant from Elon Musk's brain-computer interface company Neuralink as part of a clinical trial reveals himself.
Hi, I am Brad Smith.
Using his brain to post on X. He's from Arizona, living with ALS, and he can't speak or move. Smith relies on a ventilator for breathing. Neuralink is allowing him to communicate.
This is my old voice narrating this video.
He's typing with his brain, inviting people to ask him anything and adding thank you at Elon Musk. The circular device is about the size of 5 quarters stacked together, robotically implanted into the motor cortex of the brain. Threads placed a few millimeters into the brain collect neural firings that are decoded to control a computer's cursor and type messages. Smith also posting that the whole Neuralink experience has been fantastic and has improved his life so much. He says he's happy to be involved in something big that will help many people. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is Jason in the House.
It is an interesting skill set that somehow between swimming your older brother who's taking all the credit and theater that out popped somebody who could actually do that at the highest level and do it with a smile on her face. So
yeah,
more power to you.
You know, my brother actually, for to give him credit, is he saw the rise of Trump before I did, and it was early. I mean, he came down the elevator, what was it, June of 2015? And within a couple of weeks, my brother said he was going to be the candidate that was going to win. And I was like, really? And I respect my brother a lot, but I was like, why? What is it about him?
Right.
Like, you know, showing up at the Iowa State Fair in a helicopter. I knew he captured everybody's attention, but why?
Right.
And he said something to me that was really interesting. He said he's fighting for the everyman. He's fighting for people like me. And I said, yeah, but don't you think that's what the Democrats are all saying? And he said, and I said, think about all the welfare programs they're offering and all of that. And he said, you know what the difference is? He said, the Democrats think that's the best I can do. Donald Trump believes I can do more. And it was like he was bringing back the American dream to people who had told that they weren't going to be able to have it anymore. You know, your jobs are gone and they're not coming back. You're clinging to your Bible and your guns. And Donald Trump came back and said, that's not true.
That's right.
That, but it was my brother who explained it to me for the first time. And I was like, wow.
That's captured it. Yeah. He should did. Take all the credit.
He should. He should.
I don't know what brother's name is, but Brother Meslansky Juan. Carter.
John Carter.
John. Yeah. Okay, we'll just call him John. John, well done. Yes. We're running out of time here, Lee, but I got to learn a little bit more about you. So I have some rapid questions to dive a little deeper into you. You ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going right for the gusto here. Pineapple and pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, Lee, you were on such a roll. I was so impressed. The judges hate this answer.
Not on the regular. But I, if it was the only pizza that was available to me and I was hungry and we had just finished the late night shift, I would have it.
All right, that's believable, but it doesn't like the answer still. Way to try to dig out of it, but that did not suffice. But okay. I believe you. I trust you.
My standard order is pepperoni.
Amen to that. And I'm hungry. You're making me hungry. All right, what was your high school mascot?
The Bears. The Pingree Bears.
Because there's a lot of Bears in Long Island? Or where were you at?
Then? New Jersey.
In New Jersey. And yeah, I guess they have Bears. They got Bears.
There are a lot of Bears in my parents' hometown and where I grew up. There are a lot of Bears. My mom often sends me pictures of them eating her bird feeder food, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, there are more Bears than people realize, even though it's New Jersey. Yeah, that's very true. what is the worst class you ever took? Like, you just bombed it. Like, it was terrible. You didn't get anything out of it, and your teachers were not impressed. What class was that?
All right. I actually liked the class, but I bombed it. And it was called the Cultural History of Japan. And it was in college. I was a history major. And I had trouble.
Complicated.
It was so complicated. Memorizing the names, there were so many people that had similar names. And I bombed it. I love the stories of the people, but I messed up. I messed up on the test because the names were just so hard. And I think my professor thought I didn't try that hard because it was unusual for me to do that poorly.
Yeah, that is hard. You just named, like, I can't believe I didn't take that class. I would have never made it through that class. Okay. That's very understandable.
Yeah.
So if you weren't doing this, in life, what would you be doing?
Oh, gosh. If I weren't doing this, I would probably be doing some kind of real estate, flipping houses, interior design.
Oh, there you go. I could see that with you. That makes sense.
Yeah.
No, that makes total sense. What was the first concert you attended?
This is totally random, but I went to the Grateful Dead.
Really? You're a deadhead. Your first one? How old were you?
I was in seventh grade.
Seventh grade? Your parents let you go to a Deadhead concert?
Yes. Yes. I went with, and I had no idea what I was getting into. One of my best girlfriends, I went with her father. And we.
Her father?
We went with her father to go see. And then the second concert I went to see was Billy Joel.
Oh, that would be fun. The Deadhead mm-hmm. concert. That is totally
right. It's not what anybody expects. Your first concert, what? Grateful Dead?
All right, second to last question. What's your favorite menu item at Taco Bell?
Oh, good grief. I'm going to go with their quesadilla.
Oh, that's a cop-out. But we'll let it slide. Since you blew the other food question, that was not a quesadilla. You just thought of what's the first piece of Mexican food I can think of. You're not a fan of Taco Bell, are you?
I'm not the biggest fan of Taco Bell.
All right, there's not.
But my nephews are.
Yeah, I am. That's the problem. I have this 13-year-old palate that still loves McDonald's, Taco Bell, like all this. I like Whoppers. They're all good.
Mm, I love McDonald's and I love Burger King. I'm a big burger person.
Yeah, and I love the Burger King commercials when they involve the king. Those are good. All right, last question. Best advice you ever got?
Oh, gosh. best advice I ever got. The thing that's coming to mind right now is my uncle told me that you should never leave work before your boss when I first started.
Ah, that's good.
He also told me that you should never repeat anything that you don't understand.
Oh.
And I think that was really, really helpful.
All right. Very quickly, you wrote a book.
Tell us
about the book, how we find you on social media. Tell us that.
I wrote a book called Persuasion, Convincing Others When Facts Don't Seem to Matter. And it's essentially a 9-step plan on how to convince anyone of anything using a tool I call active empathy, which is really trying to understand other people's perspectives, a lot of what we've just talked about today, and I walk you through how to do it with different examples. There's a workbook in it, whether it's just trying to convince somebody that you're right for a job or trying to convince a relative that you have a hard time communicating with about politics, it can be anything. It's the 9 steps that you walk through, and it's really based on, you know, decades of research that I've done trying to understand what messages win and out there. And so that is my book. It's available where we can buy books.
I don't care usually isn't a good response.
No.
No. Okay.
No,
I got to take that out of my vocabulary. All right.
Generally shuts people down.
Social media, how do we find you?
Yeah, I developed my social media before I realized that I was ever going to be on television. So I was like, it's not the easiest. So I am Lee Hartley Carter, but you can follow me on Twitter at @LH_Carter. If you find me, you can find me under Lee Hartley Carter pretty easily, and Instagram as well.
Oh, very good. One of the best out there, Lee Carter. Thanks so much for joining us. And I really do appreciate it. Thanks for sharing a bit
about you
and, you know, your bad pizza habits and everything else. We really do appreciate it.
Now I'm going to go off to Taco Bell and make sure that I have my order right for you next time I see you.
Very good. Very good.
All
right. Lee Carter, thank you.
Thank you so much for Lee Carter. See, I told you, she's full of energy. She's like a dynamic person, and she's a pollster. That's like a unicorn. You got to be able to talk to the unicorn. Anyway, she's just a wonderful person. Glad to call her a friend. Thank her for taking the time, and I hope you found it as interesting as I did. She's just a wonderful, interesting person. I would love it if you could rate the podcast. That'd be great. You can subscribe to the podcast so you get it. We come out once a week. And then it shows up, and hey, want to listen to that one? Great. If not, yeah, we'll listen to the next one. Also, want to remind you, we got a library of, like, I think we've done like 200 something podcasts at this point. So if you got somebody in the news, somebody at Fox, somebody in politics that, you're interested, we might have already done one. And if there's somebody that you want us to interview, then direct message me on X at Jason in the House, something like that. Somehow communicate it. That would be wonderful. I want to remind people you can listen ad free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad free on the Amazon Music app. Also, check out Fox News Podcast Network over at foxnewspodcast.com, foxnewspodcast.com. I'm Jason Chaffetz. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Jason in the House.
What do you call charging thousands of dollars for hearing aids? At MD Hearing, we call it outrageous, because hearing should not be a privilege for the rich. It's a basic need everyone deserves. Hi, I'm Dr. Sandra Porps, head of audiology at MD Hearing. If you or a loved one have trouble hearing but don't want to waste thousands for a hearing aid, MD Hearing was created for you by doctors and audiologists. A high-quality, FDA-registered hearing aid for a fraction of the price. No costly doctor visits, no expensive and time-consuming fittings, no bulky, old-fashioned hearing aids that cost thousands. The MD Hearing Neo is just $297 per pair. It's rechargeable and fits discreetly in your ear. Even better, it lets you hear what you've been missing at a savings of more than 90% off the average price of a traditional hearing aid.
Try MD Hearing risk-free for 45 days by calling 800-918-3920. Plus, you'll get free shipping. Call now, 800-918-3920. That's 800-918-3920.
Spring is sprung, and whether it's pollen, dust, dirt, or road grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has you covered. They offer car wash packages starting at $11, which includes a hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle automated pull-through wash, and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Trump administration is sending three cabinet members to Alaska this week as it pursues oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
The Trump administration also pursues the reinvigorating of a natural gas project that's languished for years. The administration is sending Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, Energy Secretary Chris Wright, and EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin to the last frontier state. Their visit comes after President Trump signed an executive order earlier this year aimed at boosting oil and gas drilling in Alaska.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Former Secretary of the Senate Kelly Johnston says senators tend to be more independent than members of the House, and that's something to watch for as they take up President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill this week.
A lot of them don't have the electoral pressures that they have six-year terms versus two-year terms, and they tend to be a little more independent. Having said that, Susan Collins and Tom Tillis in North Carolina, two of the key senators in this process, both have challenging reelection campaigns coming up this next term.
Johnston interviewed on the Salem Radio Network. A Ukrainian security official tells the Associated Press that Kiev has destroyed more than 40 Russian planes in a drone attack deep in Russia's territory today. That official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said the attack took over a year and a half to execute and was personally supervised by Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. Meanwhile, peace talks in Istanbul resume tomorrow. China's factory activity contracted in May, though the decline slowed from April as the country reached a deal with the U.S. to cut President Trump's tariffs. China's Purchasing Managers Index rose from 49.0 to 49.5. PM is measured on a scale of 0 to 100, where 50 marked the cutoff between expansion and contraction. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sleep Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group, and I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney, and the truth is I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
More peace talks coming up tomorrow between Ukraine and Russia. By making harsh, uncompromising demands in those talks with Ukraine while continuing to hammer it with waves of missiles and drones, Russian President Vladimir Putin is sending a clear message, experts say. He will only accept a settlement on his terms and will keep fighting until they're met. At the same time, he sought to avoid angering U.S. President Trump by praising his diplomacy and declaring Moscow's openness to peace talks, even as he sets the conditions that likely are going to be rejected by Kiev. The 10 men who escaped from a New Orleans jail more than 2 weeks ago by cutting out a hole behind a toilet received help from at least 15 people, many of them friends and family, who provided food, cash, transport, and shelter, according to new court documents. Some are being held on bonds of $1 million or more. Records reviewed by the AP show how some of the fugitives got aid before and after their escape. News and analysis at townhall.com. Colorado Democratic Governor Jared Polis has vetoed a bill that would have made that state the first to ban landlords from using rent-setting algorithms.
Critics say real estate software company RealPage's products have helped landlords coordinate to hike rental prices. The governor says he understands the intent of the bill, but that any collusion among landlords would already be in violation of existing law. At least six cities have passed similar ordinances at the local level over the past year, RealPage meanwhile denying any claims of collusion. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday. It's June the 1st, and it's a birthday for some famous folks, including actor Brian Cox. He's 79 years old today. Musician Ronnie Dunn of Brooks and Dunn turned 72. Alanis Morissette, remember her? Well, she's still with us, age 51. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
House Republicans finally worked out the math to pass President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill. After hours of meetings and pressure from the president, the 215 to 214 House vote marked a major win for House Speaker Mike Johnson. But as the bill heads to the Senate, it's expected to hit some serious roadblocks. Republican Senator Rand Paul voiced his concerns on Fox News Sunday.
Somebody has to stand up and yell, the emperor has no clothes, and everybody's falling in lockstep on this. Pass the big, beautiful bill. Don't question anything. Well, conservatives do need to stand up and have their voice heard. This is a problem we've been facing for decades now, and if we don't stand up on it, I really fear the direction the country is going.
Meanwhile, despite what was called a productive phone call between President Trump and President Putin last week, Russia spent the weekend wreaking havoc in Ukraine, launching a record 355 drones in a single overnight assault. The unprovoked escalation left President Trump stunned. He took to Truth Social, writing that Putin had, quote, gone absolutely crazy. And here at home, conversation continues about what President Biden's inner circle allegedly knew and concealed about his mental decline. To discuss this and more, we bring in our panel, Washington correspondent and political reporter for Fox News Radio, Jared Halperin, Republican strategist Colin Reed, and former State Department spokeswoman, Fox News contributor Marie Harf. All right, Jared, first of all, the Putin back and forth and what the president is saying about Putin seems to be a dramatic shift in the way he's talking about this. And the question is whether it changes what exactly is being done.
I think the question now becomes, are sanctions a real possibility? President Trump has, for a few weeks now, hinted at ratcheting up sanctions, imposing new sanctions on Russia if he felt that they were not making a good faith effort in the ceasefire talks. Over the weekend, President Trump certainly expressed his frustration in a way that we have not heard from him in a long time, and it is bringing him more in line with an awful lot of lawmakers, both Republicans and Democrats alike, who have long supported ratcheting up this type of pressure and sanctions on Vladimir Putin. And so now we wait and see Are there new sanctions? What do those look like? And what does it mean for the shuttle diplomacy that the president has sort of been ordering his diplomats to do? As they talk with Ukraine, talk with Russia, you've had the Ukrainian leader, Volodymyr Zelensky, agree to 30-day ceasefires. You have not seen that on the part of the Russians. There has been reporting, and President Trump has said himself that the U.S. could walk away from that process, and questions are raised about what does that look like? Does that mean walking away from the situation writ large, not continuing the type of assistance that the U.S. is providing Ukraine, or is it simply walking away from trying to host and negotiate these talks? But certainly, I think the question on a lot of lawmakers' minds now is whether or not the president is going to pull the trigger on sanctions against Russia.
And Marie, you know, there's some foreign policy experts who are saying, we told you so. I mean, Putin was never a guy that you could look at and say he's going to do what he says he's going to do at the beginning.
That's right. I mean, this is certainly not a surprise to most experts of both political parties watching the situation, or of course to the Ukrainians who've been getting hammered every day by Vladimir Putin for years. So it's interesting that President Trump finally woke up and is seeing Putin for what he is. It's also interesting now that Russian propaganda outlets and Russian state media are making fun of President Trump, basically saying, oh, you're going to get really tough until you change your mind and tweet something different. So, you know, this idea that he changes his mind a lot, that he will often flip-flop on issues, that has consequences. I think Jared's absolutely right. Congress wants more sanctions, but sanctions don't end wars. And so the question is whether the Trump administration will actually support Ukraine. And just remember, it was only a few months ago, that epic blow up in the Oval Office between Ukrainian President Zelensky and the Trump administration. Since then, Zelensky has offered ceasefires. He has come to the table. He has demonstrated that he is acting in good faith, while Putin obviously is doing the opposite. So I think there are a lot of questions here, but the real one for me is whether they actually support Ukraine, not just sanction Russia, but support Ukraine in this fight. Or if, you know, Trump just looks at the situation and says, Putin's crazy, I don't like Zelensky, I'm walking away from it. I think that could have really serious consequences for Europe. Europeans are already looking to step up, allowing Ukrainians to use weapons without range restrictions, for example. So Europe really at a crossroads, too. In this moment, Trump will be meeting with European leaders at a NATO summit coming up in the not-too-distant future. It will be very interesting to see how he goes into that meeting.
Yeah, a couple things. One is I've been told that the weapons have not stopped, even though there's been concern and the president's been very public about his concern about how the spending's gone. The flow of weapons to Ukraine has not stopped. And the ability to use long-form weapons, in other words, long-range, actually increased in the Trump administration, and it took a long time for the Biden administration to get there. Secondly, Colin, you know, this has been multi-administrations. You know, 2014 when Putin wants Crimea and there's a whole back and forth and President Obama says this cannot stand. And then, you know, by the next weekend, they had new passports and a new time zone in Crimea. So we've had this back and forth with Putin before. The question is, what's going to change?
And don't forget, you can go back 5 years or earlier from that, Brett, to 2009 and the infamous, famous Russian reset the Obama administration oversaw and took credit for before he marched into Ukraine and seized Crimea. I mean, look, for all the President Trump prides himself on his unpredictability, especially when it comes to foreign policy, but for all of the different iterations of this debate and this negotiation, there's been pretty two clear principles President Trump has had going back to the campaign trail and for his first few months as president. And one is he wants to end this war. And two, he views peace as something that can be achieved through commerce and the ability to do business with one another. And we saw that, of course, during his most recent Middle East trip, Brett, and the topics that you talked about him with in that interview over there. And it's something that I think can kind of be applied to this situation. And if you look at these current Russian sanctions, the potential talk for sanctions, which all of a sudden took on new heightened importance after the weekend's events, I mean, Senator Lindsey Graham has 82 co-sponsors on a bill that would hit countries that buy Russian oil and gas. That's 82 co-sponsors. It's really hard to find 82 senators that agree on much of anything these days. And this is not something that should be taken lightly, because energy sales are Putin's lifeline. 63% of all Russian exports are energy related. So you start really hitting him with these energy sanctions, as President Biden was reluctant to do, probably because he was at the same time shutting down all of the domestic oil and gas here at home. That's the one thing that can really hit Putin where it hurts. And don't forget, they've lost a million lives, Brett. A million Russian soldiers have been lost in this war to date. That's twice what America lost over the course of World War II. It's a huge human consequence. So you really put your foot down on some of those energy sanctions, you can really start putting Putin in a spot where he doesn't have the cards, and where he's forced to come back to the negotiating table and wind this thing down in a way that allows him to save face.
But, Jared, why isn't that bill moving forward, the 82 sponsors on the Russian oil?
Well, I think there's been a willingness to see what President Trump wants to do here. The president has made clear that he wants to negotiate this. It is unusual to see Republicans kind of publicly break from President Trump. That being said, over the weekend, you did see senators like Chuck Grassley and others say, now's the time to issue these sanctions. So I think the reason you haven't seen that move forward in the way we may see it move forward now in the days and weeks ahead is simply out of deference to President Trump and his ability perhaps to see if he can negotiate a ceasefire. Clearly, those ceasefire negotiations are not going as planned for President Trump, as we saw over the weekend, him saying that President Putin is crazy following one of the most aggressive airstrike campaigns we've seen since the war began.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risk just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
This is House Call for Health. A new study out this week suggests ultra-processed food might increase the chance of an early death. It involved about 240,000 participants in 8 countries reviewing surveys of people's diets and data on deaths. Researchers looking into the link between a high consumption of ultra-processed foods and the risk of early death for people between the ages of 30 and 69. And they found for every 10% increase in total calories from ultra-processed foods, the risk of dying early rose by almost 3%. Researchers estimating that completely cutting out ultra-processed foods would have prevented about
about 124,000 premature deaths in the U.S. in 2017. The study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine Monday. The National Institutes of Health describes ultra-processed foods as things like sodas, candy, industrial bread, and some breakfast cereals, as well as ready-to-heat-and-eat dishes in the supermarket freezer section, among others. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Fox on Tech.
An Arizona man with ALS reveals himself as the third patient who received an implant from Elon Musk's brain-computer interface company, Neuralink. Brad Smith is unable to speak or move. He relies on a ventilator for breathing, and now the Neuralink allows him to communicate. Smith posted on X, quote, "I am typing this with my brain. It is my primary communication." And Smith says the circular implant is about the size of five quarters stacked. It is placed in the motor cortex of the brain. And with this technology, Smith was able to narrate a video posted to X with his own voice, cloned by AI from recordings he made before he got sick.
"Overall, the whole Neuralink experience has been fantastic. It has improved my life so much. I am so happy to be involved in something big that will help many people."
With Fox on Tech, Lydia Hu, Fox Business.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Reverend Jesse Jackson made a run for the presidency in 1984. In a speech, he apologized for remarks made referring to New York as, quote, "Heimy Town."
"If in my high moments I have done some good, shed some light, healed some wounds, if in my low moments, in word, deed, or attitude, through some error of temper, taste, or tone, I've caused anyone discomfort, created pain, that was not my truest self, if there were occasions when my grape turned into a raisin and my jaw bell lost its resonance, please forgive me. Charge it to my head and not to my heart."
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Bret Baier.
And Marie, the big, beautiful bill moves on, but the Senate, it may not be so beautiful to some Republicans even.
That's right. I think there are a couple of problems here for Senate Republicans. Number one, this would be the largest cut to Medicaid and food assistance in American history. And I think there are a lot of Republican senators who are uncomfortable with this. If you talk about people like Josh Hawley from Missouri and others, I think cutting some of those programs, look, the biggest loser coming out of the House are these moderate swing state Republicans who had to vote for this, who ended up voting for it, and who have to wear Medicaid cuts around them heading into the midterms. But there are other problems. There are Republicans who want deeper cuts in terms of not raising the debt as much, not raising the deficit as much. They want more spending cuts. It is really hard to cut more on spending if you're increasing defense spending by so much. You are going to start touching programs that touch everyday Americans, people who voted for Republicans, people who love Donald Trump. And I think Senate Republicans are in a real bind here because they want to cut spending, but doing that without really touching defense and actually increasing it by a substantial amount, the math gets really difficult. And those tax cuts, I know everyone gets tax cuts, but Democrats are going to say you're giving a lot of tax cuts to really wealthy people and you're cutting food assistance for poor kids. That's a tough political message. And I think Senate Republicans are going to do something with the bill that changes it. And then the House, which is really the slimmest majority that got this bill passed to begin with, they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. And Mike Johnson, you can hear him when he goes out and gives interviews. He's nervous about having to reopen this bill after the Senate gets its hands on it.
Yeah. You know, as far as Medicaid cuts, that's not how Dr. Oz, Mehmet Oz, talks about it, head of CMS, Colin. It's not how the administration talks about it. It's not how Speaker Johnson talks about it. Talks about cutting the waste, and what they call waste, there's people who are not supposed to be in the program. And yes, it's significant, but does it affect everybody else? the way HHS, in their interview with me, talked about it, was that by what they're doing, they're going to secure the spending for everybody else so that they don't lose their benefits. Different ways of messaging, but they are seeing cuts in the program.
Well, the alternative to doing anything at all is to do nothing, and to do nothing is to let Medicaid eventually become insolvent. So that's a disingenuous argument for anyone who purports to value the long-term stability and viability of Medicaid. But here's the thing the Republicans have. They have two things the Democrats don't. One, they have the math, and two, they have a leader. And what that means is with a 53-47 majority in the Senate, that's a fairly comfortable majority these days as margins go. So that means they can lose a senator or two, whether it's Senator Murkowski or Senator Collins, or on the other side, whether it's Senator Johnson or Senator Paul or Senator Hawley, who have different disagreements for different reasons. And even so, they lose a couple of senators, they still have the ability to have President Trump come in there like he did in the House and just steamroll this thing through. And that's what he can do because the party will by and large fall behind him. But the thing that was interesting over the weekend was President Trump said he was fine with the Senate making changes to this bill. He actually encouraged it, and then he wanted it to go back to the House. And then he can come in at the last minute and push this thing through and he wield his influence over the party and get it over the finish line. So he's okay with those changes being made. The Democrats, they don't have to do any of that. They don't have the obligations of governing because they lost the election, because they're in the minority, and so they just get to be against everything. But if we're talking about math, I think it's really important to keep in mind what this big, beautiful bill contains. It contains a lot of things, including those tax cuts that Marie mentioned. A little spoiler alert, Brett, every single Senate Democrat is going to vote against this bill. They will because they have to because that's the partisan nature we live in right now. And that means they vote to raise taxes on pretty much everyone in the universe, in the American country at least. And that includes a $4 trillion tax hike they're going to own if the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires. That's not a good place to be, but that's where they're going because they can't possibly be for anything that the president and the Republicans are for. So my prediction is this will be messy. There will be fits and starts, but it'll have a similar process to what the House does. And eventually they'll pull a rabbit out of a hat and get this thing done before all is said and done.
Yeah, Jared, I mean, Speaker Johnson has pulled a lot of legislative rabbits out of the congressional hat. But this one, you know, coming back, if it comes back with significant changes, is a little tougher, especially because conservatives really already ate the bad-tasting porridge in that they're not getting the big cuts that they want. And if anything, over 10 years, this increases the debt and deficit.
Yeah, the CBO says it increases the federal deficit nearly $4 trillion over that 10-year period. It would include a $698 billion subsidy change in Medicaid. It would revert more money in state spending for things like SNAP in Medicaid as well, according to the Congressional Budget Office. But more importantly for President Trump, the problems that existed in the House are the same problems that exist in the Senate. And so I think you're right. The question becomes, if there are significant changes that the Senate makes, either making this bill more amenable for conservatives or making it more amenable for moderates, what does that do to the math on the House side? You already have Freedom Caucus folks and others who felt like they gave up a lot with things like the SALT deductions for some of these blue state Democrats. They are still looking for cuts. They are still looking for what their big concession will be. I am told that some of that could be done through executive order that the president takes as it relates to some of that mandatory entitlement spending. But as you know, Brett, that is not the same as a tax law that would be much harder to undo by a new administration.
I get a lot of questions, though, Jared, about why isn't Congress codifying these cuts that DOGE is finding, even though it's not equaling all that they said it was going to equal up till this point. Why aren't they putting it in law?
It's a good question. I think in large part because a lot of lawmakers don't see them as really popular. They are worried about jobs in their districts. They are worried about some of the services and how they will reach constituents. Now, I do think that you look at what the House did, and it does codify some. Now, some they're not allowed to codify through a reconciliation bill, and that's the other challenge for Republicans, right, is there are only so many levers you can kind of pull when you use this reconciliation method, and that does limit the way that you can cut spending. But it's a good question whether or not the Congress will separately take up, for instance, a decisions package, which is something that President Trump has talked about, right? Bringing back some of that spending that had previously been authorized to try and codify some of those DOGE cuts that have been identified by Elon Musk and his team.
Panel, thanks so much. Now for a bit of history. On May 27, 1930, New York's Chrysler Building is completed, briefly becoming the world's tallest building, designed by William Van Allen. The Chrysler Building stood proudly at 1,046 feet tall, with its secretly assembled 180-foot spire serving as the secret weapon that ensured it was the world's tallest skyscraper. Though this title was taken by the Empire State Building the following year, the Chrysler Building remains one of the most striking features of New York City's skyline. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Jared, Marie, and Colin, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Most experts and pundits thought President Harry Truman would be soundly defeated by Thomas Dewey. On November 2nd, 1948, Truman had the last laugh.
And Mr. Kelton Barnes and Mr. Hartman were reporting the situation as it then developed. And Mr. Kelton Barnes was saying, "Well, the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote. We have yet to..." "Mr. Truman will be defeated." And to the sorrow of myself and those who were listening with me, and I went back to bed and went to sleep.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
As legend has it, Abner Doubleday invented a little game called baseball in Cooperstown, New York, in the year 1839. Myth or truth, no one knows for sure, but 100 years later, the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum opened in Cooperstown and has done a great job of balancing the myth with the historical record.
Ladies and gentlemen, I now declare the National Baseball Museum and the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, the birthplace of baseball, open. May it forever stand as a symbol of clean play and good sportsmanship.
First class in 1939 included Cy Young of the Red Sox, Phillies legend Connie Mack, Honus Wagner of the Pirates, and the Yankees' Babe Ruth.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna DeLosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A Florida businessman charged with kidnapping and killing his estranged wife in Spain has been found dead in his jail cell by apparent suicide. 37-year-old David Knezovich was awaiting trial on federal charges in the murder of his Colombian-American wife, Anna Hanau Knezovich. His defense attorney said the legal team was devastated by the news, calling for an investigation. Anna went missing just weeks after she moved to Spain in February of 2024. Security footage caught a man wearing a motorcycle helmet enter her apartment, turn off surveillance cameras before her disappearance. Police believe the man was her estranged husband. Knezovich was also seen on another security camera inside a Madrid hardware store the day Anna disappeared. Prosecutors say he contacted a Colombian woman through a dating app, asking her to translate two messages into, quote, perfect Colombian Spanish. Identical messages were later found on Anna's cell phone to her friends. Anna's body was never found. There's more on the story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna DeLosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Three judges of the U.S. Court of International Trade disagreed and brazenly abused their judicial power to usurp the authority of President Trump to stop him from carrying out the mandate that the American people gave him.
We see this as this broader problem of rogue judges erecting essentially a judicial blockade.
But then, late in the afternoon, the appellate court stepped in. Appeals court allows Trump's tariffs to stay in effect for now. The latest twist in the case that has upended a pillar of Trump's economic agenda. It puts an order blocking Trump's tariffs on hold while the appeals court weighs a longer-lasting stay sought by the government. Here to talk about all of that and the administration's economic agenda is Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. Mr. Secretary, thanks for being here.
Right. Good evening.
Your thoughts on this on-again, off-again judicial tug-of-war over tariffs?
Well, Brett, it seems highly inappropriate for the judiciary to wade in here when the Senate had the opportunity to override the president and didn't. So, you know, in terms of separation of powers, the Senate has chosen not to exercise their powers, and the president absolutely has the right to set the trade agenda for the U.S. This administration is committed to fair trade, and we are striking the best deals for the American people, and anything that the courts do to get in the way, they both harms the American people in terms of trade and in terms of tariff revenue.
You know, you're in the middle of very complex negotiations. We've talked to a number of people about how complex. It's like three-dimensional chess in some of these trade deals with different countries. Do these court rulings affect that ongoing back and forth?
Brett, you know, we have not seen any of that in terms of our trading partners. They are coming to us in good faith and, you know, trying to complete the deals before the 90-day pause ends. So we've seen no change in their attitude in the past 48 hours. As a matter of fact, I have a very large Japanese delegation coming to my office first thing tomorrow morning.
You know, Peter reported that he's hearing there are three deals kind of ready to pop, maybe even this week, next week. Can you confirm that? Is it close on a number of deals?
There are a couple of very large deals that are close. A couple of them are more complicated. And as we saw with the president's threat of 50% tariffs last Friday, the EU came to the table very quickly over the weekend. So now we've got the EU in motion also.
And what about China, specifically China, and that obviously started in a different place. How can you characterize those talks now?
I would say that they are a bit stalled. I believe that we will be having more talks with them in the next few weeks, and I believe we may at some point have a call between the president and party chair Xi.
so stalled. There was a time when the president thought that it was moving forward pretty significantly.
Again, I think that given the magnitude of the talks, given the complexity, that this is going to require both leaders to weigh in with each other. They have a very good relationship, and I am confident that the Chinese will come to the table when President Trump makes his preferences known.
All right, so let me go from tariffs to budget and tax policy as the Senate now takes on the president's so-called big, beautiful bill. Here's Goldman Sachs weighing in on where the debt stands.
We now have a big U.S. budget debate. And so while all the attention was on tariffs, I think the attention rightly is shifting, certainly in the bond market, to the U.S. budget debate and the fiscal picture, which I would characterize as somewhat concerning.
John Waldron, obviously Goldman Sachs, your thoughts on that and that concern?
Well, I would disagree with John. And the tariffs are not separate from the budget because while we will not be able to score tariff income for the CBO scoring that we'll see as the bills come out of the, or as the bill comes out of the Senate, we are taking in a substantial amount of tariff income. So, you know, they are not separated, and I'm not sure exactly what John meant, because I believe that the deficit will be smaller this year than it was last year. It will be smaller next year than it is this year. So we will be running deficits. We didn't get here in the 120 days that President Trump has been president this time. We inherited the largest peacetime, non-recessionary deficit in history. And this debt has been built up over time. And I think by the time President Trump leaves office in 2028, we will have come back to the long-term average. We will have stabilized the debt to GDP, and that number will be going down.
Obviously, there's critics up on Capitol Hill. Conservatives don't think this bill cuts enough. You seem to be suggesting that the growth element of the equation is going to help lift the country out of the concern of deficit and debts.
Well, that's exactly it, Brett. And look, there are two parts here. And when I look in the mirror in the morning, I see a deficit hawk. So I'm very sympathetic to some of the senators who want to do more now. But again, we did not get here in 1 year. We can't solve this in a year. We are going to land this plane well for the economy, for the American people. And that is going to be done through a combination of restraining and cutting spending and growing the economy, because too big a cuts and the economy would slow down. So, you know, nobody wants that. And then, of course, the ultimate calamity, Brett, would be for nothing to happen and for us to have the biggest tax increase in U.S. history, which would kill growth and balloon the deficit even beyond the Biden years.
Elon Musk is officially leaving his special government employee status. It was set to come to an end. As he leaves, Doge is looking at about $175 billion of cuts that they've found, and the administration is going to send forward, we're told, a $9.4 billion Doge cut package to Congress next week. And it's trying to make good on promises to slash government spending. However, obviously, that's well short of what was projected and what was talked about at the beginning. How do you characterize that as Musk leaves and where Doge is right now? Obviously, it's not finished all of its work.
Look, I think Elon came in 100 days did some very important work. And, you know, I'd characterize two principles with Doge here. One is the absolute level of cost cutting, which Elon has set in motion. So Doge is not going to end with Elon. You know, it is a way of thinking about cutting costs, and it's also a way of thinking about making the government more productive and more efficient. So, you know, I would expect that these would be the initial savings, and they will continue from here. You know, at Treasury, we have incorporated several members of the DOGE team, they have become the fully trained, fully compliant Treasury employees, and they are going to be working continuously to ferret out waste, fraud, waste, fraud, and abuse within the government system. So I think that the meter is going to keep going with these savings. And then on the other side, we're going to deliver a better product to the American people. Because, Brett, you know, I lived in New York. I lived in Florida. And the state of New York spends about $235 billion a year. State of New York spends about $235 billion a year. State of Florida spends about $125 billion. Both states have approximately the same number of people, but Florida doesn't have an income tax. And I can tell you, having lived in both, it's better not to have an income tax, and Florida gives better services. So we want the U.S. to be more like Florida, less like New York.
I want to ask you just two quick things. One is about, you know, as we put up the NVIDIA stock today, NVIDIA is seeing this big boom as obviously they had a great negotiation out in the Middle East. And also the focus on AI is benefiting that particular company as well as others. When you look to AI, where do you see growth potential? I mean, are we talking a point here in GDP?
I've seen estimates that the AI spending is driving U.S. GDP by up to 1%. But I think the bigger story, Brett, can be that the increase in productivity that we're likely to see kick in over the next 12 to 24 months could add another percent to GDP. So we saw that in the mid-90s as probably 10 or 15 years of IT spending finally kicked in and became productivity growth. Just as we're seeing this massive AI spending that is the construction portion is adding to GDP, I think within the next 12 or 24 months, we will see a big productivity jump that will also add to GDP.
Well, that'd be fascinating. We'll watch it all. Mr. Secretary, we appreciate the time.
Good. Always good to see you, Brett.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 50 and tired of your wireless bill getting higher and higher, there are four things to consider. One, how much data are you really using? As we get older, we use less data on our wireless phone, but you're probably still paying for an unlimited plan that was designed for 20-somethings. Two, if you see Get a Phone on Us, get your sneakers out and run the other way. No one is giving you a free phone. You are paying for that phone over time with an overpriced rate plan and a long-term commitment. Three, check the fine print on that $15 a month plan. It's probably an intro price that'll double or triple later. You might even have to pay for several months of service up front. Number four, beware of cable company wireless plans. Most of your usage will be on Wi-Fi instead of 5G, and your calls and battery life could suffer. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get the same fast, reliable, nationwide service without the big wireless bill. Our plans start at just $20 a month.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto paying, e-billing, see site for additional facts.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and inflation could make a devastating comeback. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's 5 questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
What is the name of the coffee shop in the sitcom Friends?
Mel's Diner.
Central Perk.
The answer?
Central Perk.
Either way, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
Bear Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Dr. Charles Krauthammer was a staple on our show. We miss his thoughts and perspective every day, especially now. Each year, a scholarship is awarded in his name to the children of Fox News employees through a partnership with the National Merit Scholarship Corporation, which just celebrated its 70th anniversary. It's also an effort to carry on Charles' legacy with the next generation.
Education is so powerful. You can't just be smart at one thing.
Dr. Charles Krauthammer was a man of many talents.
I like that part about the genius. Sounded right.
He lived a full life, starting his career in psychiatry.
I say that as a psychiatrist who has a lot of experience in watching these things.
And then joining us almost nightly for our all-star panel.
That's why I get the big bucks.
That's right. Each year, Fox News has honored his memory, providing scholarships for children of Fox News employees.
You have to have this knowledge of, like, everything in a way, so that way it all kind of fits together.
Megan Terra Lavoro has a diverse and impressive academic background. As a member of the Math, History, and Spanish Honor Societies, she believes excelling across an array of subjects is important for her future career as an accountant.
It's not ever just going to be math. It's interpersonal relationships. It's having a more general background knowledge on history, on literature.
Megan has also been a leader in athletics as captain of her varsity basketball team and founder of her school's girls flag football team.
I think just like the overall excitement to like really move on with my life and like get to that next chapter, I think that's the thing that like motivates me to keep going and be like, okay, like, I can do this.
She plans to study at Fairfield University in the fall, but like Charles, Megan has overcome health struggles after she was diagnosed with lupus her freshman year of high school.
Just being able to kind of balance, you know, the never really feeling 100% okay with, you know, realizing that there's more to life than, you know, letting like the lupus hold me back. I think that was really important.
There's an element of that in everybody's story, their low point. Do you want it enough and are you lucky enough? That's a part of it too.
Charles was paralyzed from the waist down after a diving accident, but propelled forward in life, excelling in a variety of fields. He graduated from Harvard Medical School and won the Pulitzer Prize for his commentary.
He was someone who always strove to seek more knowledge and question many different ideologies. To be able to receive this award in his honor is amazing.
Like Charles, Ella Farinakian has written about the importance of overcoming life's hurdles and won various awards for her work. She hopes to one day help others who might be struggling.
You have to
be able to pursue the challenges and the things you want to do and be able to persevere and be resilient even when it's challenging.
Ella has a well-rounded resume from serving as co-editor-in-chief of her school newspaper to playing tennis on her school's varsity team.
Being able to have educational experiences that teach me not only, you know, about different concepts and textbooks, but teach me about people and different cultures.
Ella wants to help others in her future career. She plans to study political science and history before heading to law school.
I'm just interested in seeing like where my leadership will take me. I may continue women's rights and, you know, continue to find other communities to learn more about and figure out ways how I can be a voice and leader.
Joining us now, Charles' son, Daniel Krauthammer. Daniel, it's so great to see you every year here on set in the same seat that your dad occupied. It's great to have this scholarship every year, too.
No, it's wonderful. Thank you, Brett, for having me on. And you know, even more so, you know, thanks for my family, to you and Suzanne Scott and the whole Fox family for continuing this tradition and honoring my father's legacy and his passion for learning.
Yeah, and he, I mean, cut through the noise and was so loved by our viewers across the board, especially on foreign policy. And it seems that this time I get emails all the time, man, I want to know what Charles would think about this X, Y, and Z. Here he is in March of 2014 talking about Putin and Russia.
What we should do is to announce that any further step of Putin into the rest of Ukraine, we will immediately favorably consider requests for weapons and trainers on the ground.
And it was very prescient, and he went on to say that Putin's a very good liar. Yeah. He saw it coming.
He did, and it's a bit of a sad statement on where we are now that his words are so prescient, that really the same things he was saying we needed to do more than 10 years ago are still the same things that we need to do. And, you know, I get these same questions all the time of what would he say now, and I think we don't have to imagine. We can look at those same words, and he was able, as you so often say, to zoom out and see the big picture, I think, of why we keep finding ourselves in this position, that we always assume that these adversaries are going to be reasoning and reasonable in the same way we are, when, as he so often pointed out, they want things that are different than us, and that doesn't mean we're going to end up at war, but that does mean we have to accept that they're not going to be reasonable the way we want them to be or expect them to be.
You point to one clip here. That he wrote.
Yeah, he did. He wrote about the mirror image fallacy in this respect. And you know, he brought his learning as a psychiatrist, like some of, you know, very wide ranging interests, like some of these scholars, and brought that to his application to foreign policy.
This is Time Magazine, August 15th, 1983, way back.
Yes, and he was talking about the Russians and the Iranians then and still talking about them now, and that we need to accept that they're going to want things that we're not going to find reasonable. And the way to make them change their behavior is to change their cost-benefit analysis. And that means applying pressure. That means doing the kind of things he was saying 10 years ago that we still haven't fully done, with sanctions on the oil, with providing Ukraine the weapon they need. And when you follow through on that in a way that respects that they're going to do things that we think are crazy but are their interests as they define them, that's when you can change behavior and get to the goals that we've been chasing after for so long.
I always have a seat on the panel for you when you're ready. When you're ready.
Yes, I appreciate it so much, Brett. It means a great deal to me and my family. And today we just want to celebrate Ella and Megan and thank you and thank them and wish them all the best as they go on to follow their own passions and learning and give that to the world like my father did.
Give my best to your mom.
I will. Thank
okay.
you, Brett.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.